Money FM 89.3. Best of your money. Influence with Michelle Martin on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
I'm Michelle Martin. Good morning. The digital transformation accelerated by COVID and the Internet of Things has completely changed both the dynamics and the size of the cyber attack surface. Given this expansion, while most business ventures rely on lessons learned to improve outcomes, how can businesses innovate faster than criminals? We put that key question to Foram Mehta, APEC Chief Information Security Officer at PayPal. Good morning, Foram.
Good morning, Michelle. Happy to be here.
Good to have you here. Now, given the trends that you've observed, how can individuals and institutions protect themselves from cybercrime given this expanding cyber attack surface?
I think, you know, clearly the digital acceleration that you just mentioned is taking shape, and there's no other region growing as fast as Southeast Asia, right? I mean, recently we look at more than 70% of the 400 million users, of the 600 million users in Southeast Asia are already online, and 40 million of them came online just last year. So as the use increases, so does the abuse, and the cyber criminals are looking at consumers that don't have the kind of experience and the savviness to try and steal their credentials, thereby then attacking their accounts to either steal data, which what most, about 85% of the crimes are financially motivated, as we've seen in the recent past. I think, you know, it all boils down to basic cyber hygiene practices from a consumer perspective, just making sure that they verify the authenticity of the e-commerce store that they are buying from. A very simple thing that I ask, at least folks that I speak with, is once they visit a website, once they've created the account, to bookmark them. And anytime they want to visit that, to not click on any link that they get over email, SMS, or any other social media, but to go back either by typing or the bookmark that they have stored on their browser to go to those sites. To enable two-factor authentication, most of the websites now allow stronger authentication form, which is in addition to your password, also have a one-time code that can be sent either on their mobile phone, or they can use applications that are available to add that extra layer of security. There are other things as well to, you know, make sure that you only trust and download trusted applications from authorized stores, whether it is Google Play or iOS Play Store. And you know, I mean, I think increasingly, one thing that I'd like to urge consumers as well is, in some sense, while you're making all of these decisions, to try and discriminate between the websites and the accounts that they create. So, for example, financial and payment-related credentials do need to be different than your social media accounts or your random, you know, just websites where you're going there for consuming information, for example, and try and use password managers to try and, you know, manage the password. Because a common complaint that consumers have is, how do I remember different passwords for different sites? But password managers is a good way to try and have one strong password and then create categories of applications that they can use for different types of websites or apps that they use.
I wonder if I can dig a little into, you know, what more we can do when we are shopping online. I mean, how do we develop that sense of discernment in terms of which merchants to trust?
So it is not easy, right? I'll definitely acknowledge that. And because there is a huge increase in the types of services that are becoming online, and then COVID did not make it easier, where people were kind of constrained from going out and looking at it. I think, you know, from a basic discernment perspective, you just have to verify the authenticity of the website. But more importantly, if you think about how the frauds are perpetrated, they are not the first time that you visit a website. They are by a phishing email from a customer service contact or some other contact. For example, last month we had a fake email from, you know, MAS, from people trying to receive or collect some kind of personal data. And they have been warning consumers through multiple channels to not click on an email, not to share those type of data. I mean, phishing and smishing now through SMS continues to be these the primary ways in which cyber criminals perpetrate fraud. For PayPal, for example, you know, we constantly send consumer advisories asking consumers to send, not just to not click on any of the links and basic signs. For example, we always use their full name in their email. We never ask for any credentials. We never ask them to reply back with any kind of details, any attachments. They will always be asked to go back to the PayPal website and enter all of that. But increasingly, we've started to ask them to even report these websites to our basic email. So spoof@paypal.com. Mm-hmm. Anytime any consumer, anybody in the world, consumer or not, reports a website or an email that they have received that they think is suspicious to us, we take action, we investigate, we work with ISPs, law enforcement around the world, and try and shut down that website as quickly as possible.
That's fantastic.
On an average, per year, you would see that we take down more than 500,000 websites, for example.
Well, it's good to know what we can do as consumers. And that email address again, it's spoof@paypal.com?
That's correct.
All right. And as we see online retailing become the norm, do you think more needs to be done so consumers are protected from cyber fraud?
For sure, right? From a merchant perspective, there's clearly, we've seen there is a need. I mean, as they enable better services, more reach to their consumers, they do need to treat cybersecurity as an important area. And they are doing that, right? I mean, there's some encouraging data that came out where overall technology cost and specifically cybersecurity related investments made by businesses is increasing. I think there is a little bit of discernment in the sense of an e-commerce, especially small merchants, do not have the expertise, do not have the skills or the money to try and invest in every aspect of their business. And in that, finding good partners that have established their brand around security, around trust, comes in quite handy. For especially sensitive processing steps or components like payments.
And how do you think Singaporean companies rank against their Asian counterparts in terms of awareness of cybersecurity?
So generally, I mean, I think Singapore does pretty well, right? There is a, I think there is increase on one hand in terms of reported breaches, reported incidents that are coming up. But that's also because there is a renewed kind of emphasis by regulatory agencies. You saw PDPC release updates, which is Personal Data Protection Commission, requiring companies to report any breach within 3 days of it happening. Also increase the fines when a breach does occur from either 10% or $1 million or up to $1 million, whichever is higher, to companies that do not report on those fines and experience breaches. So in that sense, I think there is a lot of good traction in Singapore for companies to try and truly upgrade their level of comfort and investments in cybersecurity. The fastest growing economies like in Southeast Asia, around Thailand, Indonesia, Philippines, I think are also making the right investments in security. They probably do need to look at Singapore in terms of both policies as well as investments that can bring in better public-private collaboration. I'll give you one quick example. Mm-hmm. So here, under the National Research Foundation, created construct of cybersecurity consortium, PayPal was awarded a grant in partnership with SIT, the Singapore University, where we would not only research and create a way to learn about newer security vulnerabilities that are coming in, but then open source it for, especially for small to medium-sized businesses that I spoke about earlier, for them to learn about what type of attacks are coming and how quickly can they build defenses for these type of attacks without having to hire too expensive firms or having to hire individuals that may not be able to keep up with all the different threats that are coming. So I think measures like these that the Singapore government is taking to encourage better partnership, better, community engagement are going a long way.
Good to know. Thank you for joining us, Forum.
Yeah, appreciate it.
He's Fora Mehta, APEC Chief Information Security Officer at PayPal, joining me on Influence.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.